You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Vikings. Hope you all are doing well, staying safe, washing your hands. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. This show is available anywhere you find your favorite shows, or you can simply ask your smart device, like Alexa, Google Home, Siri, even play podcast Locked On Vikings. It'll take you right to the most recent episode. And I want to start today's episode in the Piscataway Township of New Jersey, where a young kid named Tajay Sharp was being recruited to all the best New England schools. He ends up going to the University of Massachusetts, and he has a productive enough run to join the Tennessee Titans as a fifth rounder in 2016. So he comes in kind of with the same pedigree as somebody like KJ Osborne is right now, where you're going, all right, we'll see if he can make the team, and he's going to, you know, maybe be a rotational guy, and we'll see if he ever turns into something else. It's kind of what you usually expect from fifth round picks. They don't always turn into Stephon Diggs. And that 2016 wide receiver group in Tennessee is bizarre and fascinating, and Tajay Sharp having a part in it is, I think, a really just like cool, neat chapter in the history of that team and also in the history of Tajay Sharp. But you basically have Andre Johnson, who, you know, of course he has his long career in Tennessee or in Houston, and then he spends a year in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck in 2015, and then he comes in 2016 and he decides to have one last hurrah with the Tennessee Titans, spiting the Texans by joining yet another division rival. And that's really the superstar of that group, is they go, okay, we got Andre Johnson, this is going to be a great group. Meanwhile, they had a couple other reclamation projects. They had Doriel Green Beckham, who had just flamed out of Philadelphia, to join the Tennessee Titans. And Justin Hunter, a second round pick who was always one of those perpetual, like, this is going to be his breakout year type guys. And the articles surrounding Justin Hunter were the same as they always were, where, all right, now this is the year. Now he's healthy and everything's perfect and this is going to be it. And then you have Tajay Sharp, who is a fifth round pick who's just hoping to rotate in with all these weird guys with crazy stories. And so week one of 2016, where they actually play the Vikings, you may remember it, and I think a lot of people were sharing it when, I think I even talked about it, when the Vikings actually signed him, because that's the only time we ever played the guy. But week one, 2016, Tajay Sharp absolutely obliterates Trey Waynes and has this big breakout game, completely overshadowing all those other guys that get all that other media attention. And his rookie year actually turns out really well. And come the end of 2016, so Andre Johnson retires and the Titans release Doriel Green Beckham, and I think Justin Hunter's contract expires or some combination of those things. Suffice to say, in 2017, of that group, Tajay Sharp's the only one who's actually still going to be a Titan in the 2017 season. And he's slated to be the number one guy. He has a good year. Everybody else gets cleared out, and it is like Tajay Sharp's moment. And if you remember, like, the media surrounding him, he was everybody's, like, fantasy sleeper for, like, two early mock drafts and stuff like that. And you have this kind of breakout narrative where, ooh, yeah, everybody, he's, like, everybody's favorite dark horse to, like, actually be a Pro Bowler and stuff, because he had this sneaky good year, you know, overshadowing, like, DGB and Andre Johnson and stuff. And then comes draft night. So for the Titans, they had been in kind of a slump, right? If you remember 2016, they had the first overall pick and they traded it with the Rams, and the Rams ended up getting Goff with that. So they had this huge draft, but they were, you know, the one overall pick. They were the worst team in the league in 2015. And then in 2016, they have a decent year. They just missed the playoffs with Marcus Mariota, but they have the fifth overall pick from the Rams because of the tradebacks that they did the year prior. So in the 2017 NFL draft, they picked fifth overall, and you might remember who they took. It's Corey Davis. So when this goes down, this kind of ruins the I'm going to be the guy narrative for Tajay Sharp, right? They just picked somebody fifth overall. He's going to be numero uno in Tennessee. And this is the part where I have to kind of tell you that I don't know exactly what happens from here on out. There are conflicting reports. And so I'll try to do my best to kind of respect the different possibilities as I go on. But in downtown Nashville on Demonbrun Street, there's this place called the Tin Roof Pub and Restaurant. It's one of those Nashville country music bars. And they're showing the NFL draft that night. And Tajay Sharp decides to go with a buddy and watch there. And when that actually happens, when the Titans are on the clock at fifth overall and they pick a wide receiver, here's where it gets a little muddy. I don't know if someone was talking a little smack or if Tajay Sharp was just mad that a wide receiver was selected. I don't really know the answer to that, but a fistfight breaks out. And Tajay Sharp's friend does, goes on lookout duty, and Tajay Sharp beats the absolute crap out of somebody. He says that it's self-defense and that he thought the guy was going to throw a punch at him, but suffice it to say, this is not a great moment for Tajay Sharp and his career. So after all that, it turns out to just be a civil lawsuit. The guy sues him for beating him up, and Tajay Sharp and the guy, his friend who was with him, who is Sebastian Trotula, who's a guard for the Titans at the time, actually countersue and say that you cost me, you know, all these lawyer fees and stuff. You probably, you know, could prove that you cost him some level of contract or whatever by sullying his reputation or anything like that. So it all gets tied up in the court. But without really worrying too much about who's right or what actually happened that night, I'm not here to investigate that, you can suffice it to say that this is a pretty low moment for Tajay Sharp. It's either a time when he lost his cool or a time when something very bad happened to him. Either way you look at it, this is a bad event for him, and things start to kind of fall apart, and he gets a little bit quieter. Compound all that, in the 2017 preseason, he plays in the fourth game, not a great sign for somebody trying to be a starter, and he ends up hurting his foot and goes directly on season-ending IR. So he misses the entire 2017 season, which is Corey Davis's rookie campaign. 2 years later, in the second round of 2019, the Titans select A.J. Brown, and now they have this like duo, and Tajay Sharp is kind of the odd man out. I think by that time, he ends up being wide receiver 4 on the Titans during the 2019 season. And so his contract expires, and they let him go. He ends up here on the Vikings, ready to try to make another mark. But similarly, he has to contend with another rookie that was highly drafted in Justin Jefferson. Of course, there's already an established superstar in Adam Thielen. And so Tajay Sharp has to contend with Olabisi Johnson for wide receiver 3. And I guess you could say that like Chad Beebe's in that, or you could kind of whoever guy you have a crush on is also, I guess, maybe in that that battle as well. But I think it's primarily between those two guys. And Tajay Sharp managed to have a good third down role and kind of ended up in pretty good standing with at least Titans fans, but you never really saw like the explosiveness, and similar to the way that he was in at the University of Massachusetts for the Minutemen, is very like just a kind of production guy. Not necessarily big time plays, but very consistently available and contributes. That's really what Tajay Sharp is, the kind of name he made for himself in 2018 and 2019 after coming back from injury. And so that's what you can kind of expect him to be. And it'll be up to BC Johnson or whoever to beat that out. But what's nice about these kinds of competitions is that when you really know what you're getting from one guy, from Tajay Sharp, you'd know what pretty much what he's going to be, right? He's been in the league long enough. There's enough tape. You know who he is. It gives you a very clean baseline. If Olabisi Johnson gets that third wide receiver position, he's better than what we know Tajay Sharp to be, and that can help us orient our opinions and our expectations. So before I move on to the next story in this little wide receiver 3 special, I want to talk to you quickly about Built Bar. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by Built Bar throughout the entire month of May. Built Bar is a protein bar that you can have after a workout in the morning as a guilt-free snack at night. It has this like delicious, rich, chocolatey flavor without being too sweet, which I really appreciate. I don't like it when bars like that are too sweet. I don't like the big hit of sugar in the morning or whatever. And they come in a bunch of really fun, weird flavors like double fudge brownie or raspberry chocolate, even orange chocolate if that's your speed. There's a banana bread one, a mint chocolate one. They have all kinds of different combinations that you can kind of pick and choose from, and I can vouch for them. I think they're pretty good, man. So if you want to check them out for yourself, head on over to builtbar.com. And when you check out, enter promo code locked on. You can get $10 off of your first order. That's builtbar.com, promo code locked on for $10 off of your first order. In Nigerian culture, which is something you should probably familiarize yourself with if you want to be a Vikings fan, because they tend to come in and out of this franchise quite a bit. But in Nigerian culture, baby naming carries a different significance than what we Americans are used to. For us, it's maybe a family name or just kind of a badge, or I like the sound of this, or name them after some favorite character or something. But in Nigerian culture, it's a very special traditional ceremony. And often what happens is that parents will take the baby to an elder of the community, some sort of like respected figure of authority, and the elder will choose a name that kind of symbolizes what they hope the baby will become. And it's kind of a blessing mixed with a little bit of like a spiritual ceremony. And this is what Nigerian immigrant Bode Johnson and his wife Tracy from Iowa did with their son, who ended up being named Olabisi. And Olabisi means to bring prosperity to your family. So the fact that he made it in the NFL and now he's on a rookie contract and looks like he's carving out a decent career for himself means that kind of bore out. Now, Olabisi was born in Denver, Colorado, but because of the desire to stay traditional, if he had been born in Nigeria, the parents wouldn't even be allowed to name him. He would have had to, they would have had to take him to, like, the oldest person in the community. And so, in kind of honoring where he came from and where his heritage is, his father, Bode, did that. But enough about the fun little cultural factoid. For BC, he spent a lot of time playing second fiddle when he went to Colorado State. And Colorado State in recent years has pumped out quite a few good receivers, so it's not really that much of a knock on him that, I mean, he got there, and the main guy at Colorado State when BC Johnson arrives is Rashard Higgins. He ends up getting drafted and carving out a decent career in the NFL. Then Michael Gallup is recruited the year after BC Johnson is, and Michael Gallup, of course, rises to very quick superstardom, and BC Johnson, that's the 2016 season, where he's then like kind of wide receiver two, maybe wide receiver three, and that is the year where Colorado State goes to the Idaho Potato Bowl, where they play the hometown Idaho Vandals in a frigid, cold game with the cards stacked against them, right? They've got to play, you know, usually they try to do these things at a neutral location, but the Idaho Potato Bowl can't exactly move, and the Idaho Vandals end up in it, and they got to play Colorado State. And in this game, BC Johnson completely explodes. It's probably the pinnacle of his college career. He catches 7 passes for 265 yards and a couple of touchdowns, leading Colorado State to put up 50 points in the frigid, cold, hostile environment. It's this beautiful moment. It looks like it's going to kick off this incredible college career and, you know, big stage kind of rising up to the big moment. Unfortunately, Idaho scores 61 the other way, and unfortunately, BC Johnson can't do anything about the defense. So they end up losing the game, and they actually lose the next bowl game they play in against Marshall as well. And despite BC Johnson also playing decently in that game, when Michael Gallup gets drafted, BC does not ascend to wide receiver one like he's supposed to. Now there's this kid, Preston Williams, on Colorado State, who now plays for the Miami Dolphins, who also is kind of overshadowing him. And so as all of these kind of star receivers come through Colorado State, BC Johnson is always the one supporting and kind of propping them up as the other guy in the route combination and being decently productive and kind of having his role, but never quite being, you know, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, as it goes. However, a decently productive career and a couple of high-volume moments in big situations with all the lights on him gets him at least enough attention to get drafted by the Vikings in the 7th round of 2019, and then you probably remember how things go from there. He joins this really weird wide receiver group. The 2019 Vikings in camp had, you know, Diggs and Thielen and then, like, a whole bunch of guys and not really anybody guaranteed to make the team except, I guess, like, Chad Beebe. And so it was this wide-open group. He had to beat out Dylan Mitchell, who was drafted ahead of him. He had to beat out Laquon Treadwell, who was a first-round pick, of course, you know, busting it as hard as he did. Had to beat out guys like Davion Davis and Alexander Hollins, who also had time and, you know, had playing time with the Vikings. And he had to kind of make his mark. But that first preseason game against the Saints in the Superdome, BC Johnson ends up doing just that. He's kind of the only guy, the only wide receiver to stand out in that game. And that moment kind of solidifies him in the coach's eyes as somebody, okay, now it's his job to lose. Nobody else takes it from him. And he ends up getting, making the team pretty comfortably, as well as taking over the wide receiver three job from Chad Beebe when Chad Beebe gets hurt after week two or three. And then, of course, you know, the wide receiver group takes another blow in week 7 when Adam Thielen goes down in Detroit, and BC Johnson has to kind of set up. That's where he catches his first NFL touchdown, and he and Diggs are the two guys alongside each other during a stretch of offense that gets a little bit dicey. Of course, those are games where Dalvin Cook has to take a little bit more on, but suffice to say for BC Johnson, he ends up being wide receiver 2 again in his rookie year as a 7th round pick, which really is kind of outplaying his expectations. For a 7th round pick, you're just kind of happy if they make the team, let alone getting any contribution out of them. So now you have this wide receiver 3 job that's up for grabs. His chief competition, of course, for it is Tajae Sharpe. If you want to be pessimistic, you could say Justin Jefferson is also like competing for wide receiver 2 and 3, and you could kind of call that the three of them in a competition, and we'll see how, for, you know, 2, 3, and 4, and we'll see how they rank out. And if you're optimistic about Chad Beebe, you can throw him in that mix as well. But for my money, I think it's really a battle between Tajae Sharpe and Olabisi Johnson. And however you'll be able to figure out how to do it, if we have to have a virtual training camp or if you can get them on the field preseason and stuff, I kind of think whoever plays better in the preseason between those two guys is going to be the one who gets the job. For BC, that's somebody who is used to being that supporting role, that wide receiver three, that other guy in the route combination who can kind of keep his head down and do his job. If you listen to his coaches talk about him, he's like this coaching teammate dream that everybody raves about his work ethic and his personality, and he's just this like super, super high character kid. And on the other side, you get Tajay Sharp, who has kind of the same on-field presence as a third down guy, but of course has a much different story behind his settling into that rotational sort of capacity where, you know, he emerges from this very strange moment in Tennessee and then falls right back into it when Corey Davis and AJ Brown are drafted and having injuries and off-field problems kind of clouding that whole thing. And you get a very different way of ending up in the same area. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the on-field odds and kind of on-field stuff with that wide receiver three competition in just a second, so stick around. Okay, so assuming that the battle for wide receiver three, or for, I'll call it, the guy that comes on in 11 personnel with three wide receivers, you're pretty much always going to have Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, I think, and I think that you're probably going to need a guy to be an outside receiver. Both Tajay Sharp and Olabisi Johnson have the sizing and stuff to be that outside guy, so they won't be infringing on the slot snaps that we've talked about a lot are really valuable because, coming out of the slot, you get a two-way release. I talked about this with Mark Schofield. You get matchups against lesser corners oftentimes, and the Vikings are going to want to give those opportunities to Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson so that they can make the most out of them, and then you're going to kind of have the other guy on the other side of the formation. That is BC or Tajay Sharp, and for now I'm going to pretend that it's just those two. I know a lot of people are like, is it going to be Chad Beebe? I don't think Chad Beebe stands a chance against these guys. I actually think BC Johnson played well enough in 2019 to take his job from him, and I think Beebe's going to have to make the team on special teams. Plus he has a drops issue, he's not particularly athletic. He has a good special teams work ethic. I like his chance to like make the team again, but I don't think his ability to actually get into the rotation, like I think his most memorable moment as a Viking was a busted coverage in week two at Lambeau Field, and if I recall, that actually didn't turn into a touchdown, which of course isn't his fault, but I think that ultimately, Chad Beebe is a very beatable person in a camp competition, and I think the fact that the 2019 receivers couldn't really do it is more of an indictment of that group as a whole and less of a buildup for Chad Beebe. And I think over the course of the season, BC Johnson did kind of take it from him, and if Beebe had come back off of IR, I don't think he would have outsnapped BC Johnson, and I think that if that competition is, the wide-open thing, I think BC Johnson and Tajay Sharp can both beat Chad Beebe. So I'm going to pretend that it's just between these two guys, and that Justin Jefferson is going to be the second wide receiver on the team. I think that's a given as well. And so, okay, how do you predict these kinds of things, right? Because, who gets the job? First off, you just can kind of say, okay, I think so-and-so is the better receiver, and we'll start there. And then we can kind of go into, but who will have the better preseason? Because it can often come down to, two or three preseasons, one series in the preseason where one guy just like gets hot and has, a couple of good plays, and that might be all it takes. That's kind of how the Duke Thomas versus Chris Boyd competition went down last year. If you remember that one at cornerback, there was basically one final cornerback spot up for grabs between those two guys, and it came down to who played better in the Buffalo game in the second quarter, and Chris Boyd got it. So these things can kind of tend to have small samples, but we can at least try to predict a favorite, right? And see who we think should win. So if you look at the actual athleticism, we'll start there between Tajay Sharp and Olabisi Johnson. In just about every category, BC Johnson kind of outdoes him, except for size. Tajay Sharp has 2 inches of reach on him. That tends to matter a little bit. BC Johnson's about 10 pounds heavier, but I think the height probably matters a little bit more there. So give Tajay Sharp the edge on size. But when it comes to actual athleticism, BC Johnson is faster, more agile, has more burst, has bigger catch radius. And so the actual like measured height, how tall you are, doesn't really matter. The actual catch radius when it comes to wingspan and all that stuff, and then actually like functionally how much you can miss the guy by and he'll still bring the ball in, BC Johnson tends to be better in that category. And I think that both invalidates the height advantage and creates a pretty significant advantage of its own on BC Johnson's side. So for that, for just like pure athleticism and build and stuff, I think put the check mark in BC Johnson's column. And in terms of production, of course, we have much less of a sample size with BC Johnson, but he was, you know, the third wide receiver, and he got a lot more targets and a lot more run, being wide receiver two in 2019 than Tajae Sharpe did. That said, Tajae Sharpe also had to contend with more competition for more of the time, right? Because Adam Thielen was out for a long time, and the only guys BC Johnson had to outdo to get those wide receiver three snaps, or wide receiver two, when that's what it was be better than like Alexander Hollins and Laquon Treadwell. And that's not necessarily as difficult than what Tajae Sharpe had to do. Of course, he was overshadowed by Corey Davis and AJ Brown over there. And, you know, there, I think it was just like a generally deeper and better group. It was a really pretty poor depth group in Minnesota. And so beating that out, I give you a little less points for. So I'll call that a wash. Ola BC Johnson did outproduce Tajae Sharpe, but I think that's what you would have expected if you were to tell me, you know, okay, these are two exactly the same wide receivers, one in this situation, one in that situation. And I think you would expect the one in Minnesota to outproduce the one in Tennessee just a little bit, just because of the competition surrounding them. So right now, I really just give the athleticism tick to BC Johnson. I think they're both good route runners. They both have fairly sure hands, and they both come up in, you know, the like clutch situations. Though I don't know if I think most of that is just us ascribing patterns to what is generally randomness. I don't think there's a particularly different skill when you have to catch, you know, a stick route on second and four versus third and four. You're running the same route and you're catching the same pass. It just like matters more one time. But I think that at this level, once you get to the NFL, you've already kind of weeded out all the guys that are like choke artists and can't get, you know, get over the pressure of the big lights and stuff like that. I think especially when it comes to like third downs, which isn't, you know, like the big, it's like the Super Bowl, right? And I think that when it comes to third down and like quote unquote clutchness, I think most of it's a myth, and we're just kind of ascribing patterns to things we otherwise can't explain other than saying like random chance. And in any case, I think they both would get the same like score in that category anyway, so we can throw it out of this evaluation. So when it comes to just pure raw ability and just like who I think the better receiver is, I'd probably pick BC Johnson to win the battle, just because everything seems to be fairly similar between the two, except for athleticism, where BC Johnson wins it pretty handily. However, I will put an edge in Tajae Sharpe's corner because of veteran experience. Not only did he have an incredibly productive career in college, probably more productive, I don't have it off the top of my head, but I believe, if I remember, it was more productive than BC's was at Colorado State. And he just got a lot more run. He's had, you know, 4 years in the league, including an injured year where you just kind of learn. And, you know, he's had a lot of rotational snaps and just a lot of run in Tennessee. And a lot of that was also in a similar scheme. So I don't think the fact that he's new to the team is going to hurt him too much. You know, he comes to a scheme that probably uses a lot of the same terminology and a lot of the same concepts and like route trees and stuff like that. So I think it'll be a fairly easy transition for Tajae Sharpe. And I think that, you know, when it comes to an actual preseason game, you're likely going to see, you know, Tajae Sharpe on one side and BC Johnson on the other when like the twos are out. So who beats a backup cornerback better? That is, I think, what really comes in. You know, when it comes to who's going to be better on the field in a regular season game, that's a different evaluation process, in my opinion, than who's going to beat up a second team's cornerback better, because that's the guy who's actually going to win the job. And so who are people's second team cornerbacks? Well, a lot of them are like raw rookies, you know, guys like Noah Igbinoghene, guys like Chris Boyd was a second teamer for the Vikings, rookies and people who are, you know, maybe not quite ready to play, but are still kind of, that's one thing. And I think the idea of having a little bit more experience, although I like BC Johnson's routes quite a bit, I would imagine that Tajae Sharpe has a little bit more veteran savvy. And the other thing is guys who are just kind of backup quality players, either guys who were starters and kind of washed out, or guys that, you know, are maybe old and past their prime, guys that are kind of veteran depth, you know, like the Dre Kirkpatrick types, wherever he ends up. That is the kind of thing that I think advantages BC Johnson, because that's where the athleticism advantage will come into play. When you're trying to beat a like okay replacement level, kind of backup level starter cornerback, then the fact that you're bigger and faster and more agile than them and you can catch everything is probably going to be highlighted a little bit more. So if I had to pick a wide receiver three right now, I'm going BC Johnson, and I'm saying Tajae Sharpe is wide receiver four. But I think that there's, I mean, of course, a ton is subject to change there. And that's just like a guess way out here in May. But I guess it's the most informed guess that I can come up with. But let me know. Tweet me at LukeBraunNFL. Tweet the show at LockedOnVikings. Let me know if you think I'm wrong or who you think is going to win between Tajae Sharpe or B.C. Johnson, or if you think I'm wrong about B.B. or Jefferson, go ahead and yell at me online about that too. In the meantime, you can find this show anywhere you find your favorite shows. You can ask your smart device to play this podcast by asking it to play podcast Locked On Vikings. And of course, this episode has been brought to you by Built Bar. I'll see you all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.